Mr. Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. How you doing, man? Where are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm good. I'm in Las Vegas at the moment.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Are you a gambling man?
No, I'm actually here for a wrestling conference. I started a wrestling promotion in Chicago, and so it's kind of cool.
It was going to be my very first question, as a matter of fact. So let's just get into it right now. You're coming, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins are coming to Splendor in the Grass, and the very first question I want to ask you is about wrestling. You have become a wrestling promoter. How did this happen?
The short version of the story is there was a promotion in Chicago that I got involved with just to help them out as a favor. And a couple of the guys working for the company liked my thoughts on their company. They took those ideas to their partners, and the partners basically said, Billy doesn't know anything about wrestling. We don't want him involved. So they came back to me and said, you know what, why don't we start our own company because we like what you want to do. And so Resistance Pro was born.
So you actually do know a lot about wrestling.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. In the late 90s, there was a kind of a rebellious, almost grunge-like wrestling organization called ECW. I made a bunch of friends. They started kind of explaining to me the real ins and outs of the wrestling business. And so I learned, and one day I found I had enough knowledge that I could, you know, interrelate with what makes wrestling tick. And I have credibility in that world, which maybe from an outside perspective sounds a little strange, but wrestlers see me as a wrestling person. So my rock and roll background aside, when I deal in wrestling, I mean, they see me as somebody who can represent their interests well.
Do you get to create storylines for the wrestling?
Yeah, I write all the storylines for our promotion. It's probably the coolest part. It's a very creative endeavor. We kind of have a little bit of an old school flavor.
It seems like it's almost like writing like a comic book, like a classic good versus evil tale that you get to then have played out on the ring in front of you.
Yeah, it's a bit like comic book meets Greek mythology because ultimately it's about friendship and betrayal and trust and all themes I know a lot about. So,
I saw one of your most recent video clips for Owata that had some of your wrestlers in it.
Yeah, actually, both women that wrestle in the match and the man who's sort of the sleazy manager, they've all worked or are working for our company. So wrestlers are, by and large, they're really fascinating people. They're on their own, almost like a musician would be trying to make their way. There's lots of interesting things with wrestling. It's always different, I'll tell you that.
And Billy Corgan, can you wrestle?
No, my body's really honestly pretty beat up physically from all the years of touring. I was an athlete when I was a child, and rock and roll has definitely taken its toll on my body. I don't want anything to do with the violence. I did that in the 90s, and that was enough for me.
All right, well, we'll move away from the violence to the music, which is the beautiful side of what you do. I was going to play a track, actually, from Tiergarten by Kaleidoscope right now, and then we'll talk about the fact that there will be an actual album from Smashing Pumpkins when you're here for Splendor. Billy Corgan is on the line here for Splendor in the Grass in July, and there's going to be an entire new album when you get here.
Yeah, actually, what's pretty cool is our album comes out just before we're going to be there. So Australia is really the first place we're going to play the album.
Wow. I must say, I have heard what seems to be the first track on Oceania, the Quasar song on sort of, you know, YouTube and stuff, and it is a pretty massive song.
Yeah, there's definitely elements in Oceania of sort of big classic Smashing Pumpkins guitar sound, and kind of in a way more the psychedelic end of it than, say, the heavy metal end of it. And I think that's part of the reason people that have heard the album really like it. It kind of reminds them of that feeling.
Have you enjoyed returning to an album format for Oceania after releasing individual songs as you finished them previously?
I got into the idea of just one song at a time for a while. Zeitgeist was a kind of a mixed result for me, not just musically, but emotionally. And I thought, well, that's pretty much the end of that. I'm never going to do that again. And I, of course, me and my big mouth, I even said I'm kind of over it. But I kind of wound back around to it. And things happen, love things and all that. And it all just kind of made sense, like the story here I want to tell. And, of course, you know, OS has a lot to do with Australia and my time in Australia. So, you know, there's a lot of connection here just talking to you about that.
That's very, yeah, and coming to Australia to play it for the first time makes sense. Is it interesting being, you know, a person who is sort of known for a big, you know, sort of album idea and then to, as you said, say that you're sort of over the whole album thing? Is it interesting negotiating the ever-changing terrain of the music industry, if I can call it that?
Yeah, it is, and I think, you know, when things started to really change, my first reaction was to get kind of bummed out. I grew up on great albums, The Who, The Beatles, The Stones, and suddenly I thought, well, no, people just aren't listening to albums anymore. It took me a long time to get out of thinking, well, why make an album if people are going to listen to it? And I think with rock and roll, that's the worst thing you can do. You just got to do what you believe in 110%, and if it works, it works. And, you know, the best moments in rock and roll are usually when you do that.
And is it definitely still a fun thing for you and to write with a whole band again?
Yeah, you know, similar kind of thing. I never thought I would be again in a band situation where I would trust the band members, feel comfortable. Nothing is more offensive to me right now than when I read people say the band is a bunch of hired musicians. These are not robots. These are real people. These are real musicians.
I've seen Mike play the drums. There's no robot that can play drums like Mike, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and there are a lot of bands out there that are in my particular situation because of just the way it works. I mean, Nine Inch Nails has worked that way since the early 90s. But at the end of the day, I think you can't fake the musical relationships, whether or not you have that communication on stage, whether or not you trust each other behind the scenes. The beautiful thing is Oceania, you can hear it. And that's been one of the most satisfying compliments I've gotten on the new album from people that have heard it is, wow, you're in a band again.
Which is a very interesting but positive compliment. Billy Corgan from the Pumpkins on the phone. Who are you excited about seeing, Mr. Corgan? Have you seen the lineup?
I got to see it really briefly. Is Jack White on the lineup?
Yes, yes, he is.
To me, Jack is, I don't know Jack personally, but he's that rare musician where he's just a great musician and, you know, pretty much everything he does is great. So I look forward to sharing that stage with him.
There's people, I mean, and I guess, and the Shins are coming as well, another band that is essentially, you know, a creative center and then people splitting off from him. And Mudhoney as well. It's been a good year for Australia and bands that I guess first got big in the 90s. We got Mudhoney and you guys and Smashing Pumpkins on this festival. Soundgarden came out for the Big Day Out. Even though you weren't from Seattle, you guys are kind of linked together in that 90s thing. Do you still feel that way?
I feel linked in terms of the time. Mm. But in terms of the ideals, I think a lot of my compatriots from the time have, you know, to use the term, have pretty much sold out. You know, I've had my versions of sell out, but at the end of the day, I've been a musician. And unfortunately, a lot of bands of my generation, they're just kind of figuring out how to run around and collect the biggest checks now. So I'm not a big fan of what a lot of my generation has done. Now, a band like Mudhoney, they've never sold out, and they were a band that was hugely important to the Smashing Pumpkins. I always look up to them. You know, there's a band that deserves a lot more due for what they helped create than they've gotten. You know, there's a band I still look up to.
Awesome. And whilst you say that, you know, those sort of bands, whatever, selling out or whatever, going through the motions, you guys are still fine with playing some of the old, you know, Siamese Dream and Gish and Melancholy songs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it depends on the setting, though.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't necessarily roll out every hit, which is sort of what's expected in the modern world, is that every band is nothing but a greatest hits band now. I think when I meet a kid, it's really funny. When I meet a 35-year-old, they want to relive their memories, and that's fine. You know, I do the same thing, so I'm not pointing any fingers. But when I meet a 20-year-old, the reason they want to come see Smashing Pumpkins, it's not necessarily because they want to hear those five hit songs. They want to see what they heard about that their uncle told them about. Oh, I saw the Pumpkins in 92 at this place, and people were going crazy. They want to experience that, and that's actually much more valuable than just going out and playing, you know, the Dusties, you know.
It's fair to say we're going to get a bunch of great new songs and a few awesome old ones. Now, you're going to be here in Australia. Are you going to be catching up with Jess from the Veronica's family?
Well, hopefully I'll be catching up with Jess.
Oh, right. So you haven't seen her? I thought you were laying down some tracks for the Veronica's album. So you haven't seen her in a while?
No, I actually just saw her the other day. She was visiting in Chicago. And, I played guitar on one song. There's this really great track they have that's probably going to be the opening track. I don't know what they're going to call it. It was sort of tentatively called I'm a Veronica from where they got their name.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds funny, but there's kind of strange aggressive rapping on it. So in the middle of the song, it kind of breaks down almost into like a heavy metal song with a super demonic Black Sabbath type riff and easily the best album they've ever made. They work so hard. I've been intimately involved, you know, on a lot of levels.
And you get to play guitar on their albums. That is great. All right, Billy, I think we better let you go, but we'll see you for Splendor in the Grass when the Smashing Pumpkins come out. Thanks heaps for chatting to Triple J today.
Oh, thanks so much.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.